someone is all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly high. We were born to fly, and so was I. I ask myself, what will I come to be? I have a choice now, so I guess it's up to me. Maybe I will make a difference in this world. Maybe I will teach another boy or another girl how to fly. Teach them all that they were born to fly. And we were born to fly, and so was I. But when you live in a world that tells you that you can't, and when you live in a world that says you must be something other than what you are, in a world that forgets you were born to fly. We were born to fly. We were born to fly.
I could play the music. Oh, thank you. I heard you doing the countdown. Oh. Aloha. I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are USA 888-228-4494, Canada 877-489-6350, and our direct lines are same area code 530-776-5154 or 776-5185 and 876-9916. It is always an honor to be with all the listeners of BBS Radio and Pal Talk, and I truly missed you all last week, and I personally wanted to apologize to each and every one of you. The first time I have actually missed a live broadcast. So it is really, really good to be back with each and every one of you. It is a real honor to always be of divine service to each and every one of you. May your hearts be filled with joy, laughter, and happiness. And may you take this and share it with others worldwide. We have a wonderful guest this evening, and I'm really looking forward to sharing some history about our guest for this evening. And then we will all invite Mike onto the show with us. But before we do that, let me share some wonderful information that I know all of you will appreciate knowing. Mike Shriver is from Cleveland, Tennessee. For 36 years, Mike has traveled throughout the world sharing his views on the nature of truth. In 1970, he was a student of an Indian guru and a teacher of yoga and meditation at four Florida universities. Then he experienced a spiritual rebirth that gave him a whole new perspective on ultimate reality. He is now a follower of Jesus. Recently, Mike has published a book called In Search of the True Light that compares the beliefs of over 20 religions. Just imagine 20 religions. So pull out your notebooks and get ready to write, because we're going to have a packed full of wisdom and knowledge shared with all of us this evening. It also chronicles his spiritual journey through Eastern religions to the belief system he now embraces. Mike emphasizes love, gentleness, and respect for others as he discusses key issues with those of varying points of view. So please, let's all give Mike a warm welcome to the Universal Spiritual Connection. Aloha and welcome, Mike.
Well, thank you very much. I do appreciate the opportunity to share with your listeners concerning the truth, and there's nothing more important than embracing that.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's really interesting because I was very intrigued when I realized that you had done extensive research, you know, diving deeply into 20 different religions, and it's bringing you to where you are today. So with keeping that all in mind, I'd like to ask you, what have you found that is truth within yourself to share with others?
Well, that's a very broad question. But I suppose the best way to answer that would be this, that actually the truth I discovered 37 years ago that altered my life drastically and dramatically was not so much a truth that was within me, but a truth that I encountered that was external. And let me explain that. As a yoga teacher, I taught that there was a spark of divinity within every person, and in order to find God, you look within. And I was convinced of that concept. I was convinced of pantheism, the idea that the universe is an emanation of God, therefore everything is divine in its essence. But then I had an encounter, as you mentioned in my introduction, I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ that was a revolutionary spiritual rebirth, where the Holy Spirit entered into me from without. And this was a totally different perspective, something absolutely shocking to me spiritually, because it was opposite to my mindset at the time. I had been enclosing myself 12 to 14 hours a day in a little room, chanting and doing meditation and various yogic disciplines, trying to awaken the kundalini power, trying to awaken consciousness from within. And I had many out-of-body experiences and strange spiritual experiences during that time, but I never encountered the personal God. And then when I did have that encounter, it was not from within. It was something external, something that I was apparently separated from, but then reunited with. And that's the wonderful, wonderful experience that changed my life. And so that would be, I suppose, the most concise way of answering your question. Now, instead of a pantheistic point of view, I hold to something that could be referred to as theism. While pantheism preaches and teaches that the universe is an emanation of God and that everything physical is really an illusion, it's just God veiling himself in the form of physical matter, but one day it will all return to its source. Theism, on the contrary, teaches that the world is not an illusion, but that it is real and that God exists apart from physical creation. And therefore, we can have a relationship with God. If God is the universe, and if we are all God, it's impossible to really have a relationship with God if we are God. And so,
may I interject here for just a moment? Because
certainly.
I am so excited, Mike. It is so refreshing to hear someone say that, yes, you can indeed have a divine connection directly with God. And I have found that, you know, it was really interesting because I just naturally did it most of my life. Doesn't always mean that I was always listening, but I knew that we could indeed speak with Father.
And
that
a wonderful,
is very profound.
And it is a wonderful thing to have that connection.
Absolutely. I'm so thrilled. I'm about ready to burst on my end. So it is so great to hear you say that. And you're so right when you speak of truth is within. And, you know, for a long, long time, I spent a lot of my journey searching for truth outside of myself. And all we have to do is be still and go within. Isn't that true?
In some cases, yes, in some cases.
Please explain.
Well, the reason I said in some cases is that if a person wants to really discover the fullness of truth, truth is not so much a concept as it is a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so when we come to him, we come to the full embodiment of the truth. And there's many aspects of the truth that I never realized until I came to Jesus. Just one little example. As a yoga teacher, I believed in reincarnation. I believed in having numerous visits to this realm in physical bodies in order to work out my karmic debt, in order to come little by little toward perfection. Through numerous rebirths, and that was my mindset, that was my worldview. And of course, in Hinduism, there's a teaching that you'll be born into this world thousands, hundreds of thousands of times before you reach perfection in God consciousness. But when I came to Jesus, who said, I am the truth, I discovered something quite different altogether, that God consciousness was not something I had to earn through the perfecting of myself or through numerous incarnations, but that if I would just receive him into my heart and open my heart up to the crucifixion and how he took upon himself the sins of the entire human race, then I could be cleansed from my sin and the Spirit of God could come into me. Now, those concepts were foreign to me. It was not something I'd ever really entertained within my heart. But when I was confronted with them, I thought, well, it wouldn't hurt to try to see if there's a truth to it. And so when I asked Jesus to cleanse me from all my sin in his blood, then something happened that never happened to me in meditation. All the years I looked within in meditation, I never had an experience like I did when I asked the blood of Jesus to cleanse me from all my sins. And so that's why I say that it's not just enough to look within, because sometimes we have to hear the truth communicated in words that can only be comprehended if they communicate the ideas found in the Gospels, found in biblical truth.
So it brings to thought for myself is, so I know that you have authored, the title of your book is In Search of True Light, and you have done extensive research on 20 different religions. How did these experiences, while you were studying these disciplines, help you to bring forth that wisdom that you have written so well about?
How did, could you say that again, I'm sorry? How did what?
What did you experience while studying these disciplines that brought you to the level of writing this book and sharing the wisdom that you received from all these different religions? And what was your main reason for bringing all this knowledge together under one umbrella of the title?
Well, let me answer that question by actually responding to the last part first. One of the main reasons I compared all of those religions in one book was to show, first, the commonalities that are in all religions, and second, the contradictions, because it's very important to see both. As a yoga teacher many years ago, I taught that all religions were equally valid paths to God and that it did not really matter what religion a person belonged to, just so they had a heart that was focused on ultimate reality. I differ with that point of view now for this reason. First of all, let's talk about the commonalities. For instance, you can find the golden rule in every major religion, which, of course, concisely spoken, is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There's not a positive religion that does not contain that maxim of living. It may state it a little bit differently, but basically you find it in every religion. And every other area of commonality that you find weaving its way through all religions usually deals with human character in issues like that. Issues like humility, meekness, forgiveness, love for God, hunger for God. You find these themes running concurrently through all religions. However, when you move beyond the basic character issues that are a part of becoming a spiritual person into the higher levels of theology, like the nature of God and the true nature of salvation and the origin of man and the destiny of the universe, there are such divergent beliefs in all these different religions that there is absolutely no logical way that they can all be mixed together and accepted as perfectly in unison or united in one truth. Let me give you a glaring example. For instance, in Buddhism is basically atheistic, but one of the primary teachings of Buddha was that we do not have a soul, that a human being is made up of five parts that disassemble at death. But we do not have a soul. And Buddha taught that in order to achieve enlightenment, a person has to give up the belief that they have a soul and give up the belief that that soul can have an eternal existence personally in a heavenly state. Jesus, on the contrary, taught that we do have a soul. He talked about it quite often, and he taught that that soul can have a personal, eternal existence in a heavenly state. Those two contradictory items cannot be mixed together. And Buddhism basically teaches cessation of existence. The word nirvana comes from a word that means blowing out, like the blowing out of a candle, which implies the ceasing of personal existence. While Jesus said he that believes on me has everlasting life, he talked often of how we would spend eternity in a heavenly state in a personal and conscious way. Those two things cannot be mixed. Now, you do find commonalities in Buddhism and Christianity, but that does not legitimize every belief in a particular system of thought. Just because there are commonalities doesn't mean everything within a worldview should be accepted. And I think sometimes when we make these general statements like all religions are one, we are all one, all religions are one, we've failed to really inspect the doctrinal base of all of these religions. And so that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, was to clearly show the distinguishing differences between all these religions and how we really have to come to grips with what is right, what is wrong, and what is to be accepted.
Well, I've got a question for you, Mike, because, you know, personally, I find the book extremely powerful. And I'm very grateful to you that you were able to bring all the different religions together. And it's really nice because this is going to be a book, you know, I've learned a lot about all the different religions as well. And it's important for people such as yourself and I to really understand that, because we're in constant communication with people worldwide. And so it's very refreshing to have that, because you have brought in also insights that I necessarily wasn't aware of. So I find it very useful to me in so many ways in my own communications with others. Now, with all of that said, what is the one element that you would really like to send out in the message to all the listeners tonight? And before you answer this question, I'd like to invite all my listeners to pay a visit to my show page. You will find I have a wealth of information about Mike and his ministries. I've also have all three of his websites listed, and also a picture of his wonderful book that he has written titled In Search of True Light. So I invite you all to pay a visit and spend some quality time, because Mike has some profound knowledge and wisdom to share with each and every one of us. And so, I'll turn it right back over to you, Mike.
Oh, again, you've opened the door to a question that would take many hours to fully expound. What would I want to communicate to your listeners? It's hard to narrow down. There's so many, many important subjects. But the thing that comes to my mind right now, and let me interject this first. I realize that there's probably a number of listeners that have different beliefs than what I'm sharing. And one thing about me they need to know is that I'm very happy to talk with people that disagree or have different points of view, as long as we can maintain love and kindness and respect toward each other. Because I believe the discussion of religion should never, never, I repeat, never reach a level of anger or hostility a feverish pitch of pointing out this or pointing out that. I think when we do that, we depart from what it's all about, because God is love, and if we're not abiding in love, then we've lost the point altogether. But let me share what I think is probably one of the most important things I could share. Again, and I refer back to this a lot, when I was a yoga teacher, I had no qualms about calling on the names of various gods, different gods that were worshipped in different worldviews. Primarily, I guess the major gods that I reached out to were the designation for God in the Sikh religion, Sat Nam. His name is Truth. Truth is his name, is the interpretation of those words, or the name Krishna. I chanted Krishna's name many, many times, and other gods that I would mention, because I felt that the name was irrelevant, that it was the fact that I was inclining my heart toward ultimate reality that counted. Now I have a different point of view. I believe the name is very, very relevant for this reason. Let me give an example out of the Hindu pantheon. The chief of the Vedic gods many, many years ago was Indra, the god of war. Now Indra is lightly esteemed and rarely acclaimed by the people of Hinduism, and yet at one time the most popular of all gods. I don't know why his popularity waned, but it did. And one thing that's very peculiar about Indra is that he is depicted in Hindu art as having hundreds of marks on his body that look oval-shaped, and actually they are yonis, or symbols of the female sex organ. And there's a reason for that, because according to legend, Indra was caught committing adultery with a sage's wife, and that sage called a curse down upon him, which resulted in these oval-shaped marks all over him. And in some Hindu legends, it's even said that he was the source of adultery coming into this world. Now, I've said all of that to say this. If I was God, and if a human being was trying to approach me, and if, as God, I was a perfect being with no flaw, no evil whatsoever in me, and if that human being called upon me by using the name Indra, if I responded to that person, I would be making a very, very confusing statement about myself, because I would be identifying myself as a cursed individual and as an adulterer and as the medium through which adultery came into the world, if I verified the use of that name by responding. And so I do believe the name is absolutely essential. That's why in the first of the Ten Commandments that God gave from Mount Sinai, when God himself personally, literally, visibly descended upon Mount Sinai in blazing fire, and his audible voice spoke out of the mountain and gave Ten Commandments to the Jewish people, the first of those commandments, the highest on the list, was, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. And then the second was, you shall not make unto thee any graven images or idol forms. Well, idolatry abounds in pantheistic religions, or in the pantheons of religions that have numerous gods. And yet the first two commandments dealt with the rejection of all humanly created gods and the rejection of the practice of idolatry. So the name is very important, and I believe that's why the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because when I say the name Jesus, automatically it identifies the correct interpretation of the nature of God. Because biblically, God is comprised of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And of course, God incarnated in his Son, and that Jesus was the only incarnation of God that's ever come to this world. And he actually suffered and died on the cross for the redemption of mankind. So when we call on that name, we identify with the truth it represents.
Absolutely.
So it's a very important thing to know what name to use when you're approaching God.
Yes. We do have a question from one of the listeners, and I would like to go ahead and read that online.
Certainly.
Over the radio, and it's from Free Child, and she says, in studying all these religions, have you been able to reveal that many of the ascended masters all walk upon our sacred earth around the same time frame?
Have I been able to ascertain that they walked about the same time?
Yes.
I'm not sure exactly what she meant by that. If that was a she, I assumed it.
Yes.
But, of course, Buddha was 500 years before Christ, and Muhammad came many years after Christ, so I'm not certain what she meant by that. But, of course, I do not embrace the idea of ascended masters any longer. I did it one time where Jesus was just among a larger group of enlightened individuals who all experienced the awakening of their Christ nature or their God awareness. And, of course, that's the way I termed it back then. Now I see things quite differently. I do believe with all of my heart. And, again, I know there's probably a number of listeners who feel differently than I do, and that's perfectly fine, and I'm perfectly happy to respond to them. But I do believe Jesus was unique. Buddha, for instance, let me give you some glaring examples of the difference between Jesus' teaching and Buddha's teaching, and their person, who they were, and what they were like. For instance, Buddha was born of a natural woman, of a man and a woman. He was conceived in a normal way in this world, while Jesus was born of a virgin, an absolutely unique kind of birth where the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and created a body within her womb so that that was truly God manifested in the flesh. Not just a person who comes into supposed God consciousness, but God actually manifested in a human body. Now let's go all the way to the end of life. Buddha died around the age of 80 and died apparently of food poisoning and is still in the grave, or what little remains of his bones are still in the grave. Yet Jesus died a much more horrendous death than food poisoning, and yet 3 days later, confirmed by those who followed him, he arose from the dead and lives forevermore. And his physical body rose and was transformed as he ascended into heaven into a more glorious body. So again, there's a glaring difference between Buddha and Christianity. Now, I have people all the time say, well, Buddha was an avatar and Jesus was an avatar. They were both incarnations of God. If they were incarnations of God, then why did they teach messages that were so drastically different? Buddha taught reincarnation. Jesus taught just one life and then something called the resurrection. Jesus did not teach reincarnation. If they were both avatars, they should have had the same message, because God is not confused about what the truth is. Buddha never promised that he would return, but Jesus promised that he would come back again one day, and that those who had served him in this life, who were dead in Christ, would rise to meet him and receive glorified bodies. Buddha taught that nothing is permanent, and yet Jesus taught that there will yet be a permanent new creation. It will never go through these endless cycles of creation and dissolution, or manifestation and dissolution, that you find in Eastern religions.
Yes,
Buddha was a human being that sought for enlightenment, but Jesus never sought for enlightenment. He said, I am the truth.
Well,
so,
you know, it's really interesting, Mike, and I'm glad you brought this up as well. And before we go any further, because I'd like to share my thoughts with you, is I'd like for you to share your websites with our listeners this evening, if you would. And Mike has actually written a very profound book, and the title of it is In Search of the True Light. And if you will go ahead and share your websites with the listeners.
Yes, my website is thetruelight.net, And be sure to put the article B in there, T-H-E, truelight.net. And I would urge all the listeners to go to a section of the website called Various Articles and FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions. And I cover a lot of territory in that section of the website. Most questions that might be asked tonight, I already have answers for in that section. Various Articles and FAQ. And then my own personal story is found under the title My Spiritual Journey. In fact, if you don't mind, is it Leilani? Is that how you pronounce your name?
Yes, yes.
Leilani, I got it right. Wonderful.
Thank
if it's all right with you, Leilani, I would love to share the experience that I had that altered my whole life.
I'm going to ask
how it came
you
to me.
Absolutely. We'll let you do that if you'll just give us one moment, because we do have a caller. I also
okay.
want to let all the listeners know in Pal Talk that we have posted all three websites as well for you to explore Mike's website. Once again, the title of his book is called In Search of True Light. On that note, I'd like to welcome our caller to the show. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, this is Fran. I'm in Colorado.
If we could get you to speak up for us, Fran?
Yes, Fran from Colorado.
And how may we be of service to you tonight, Fran? And thank you for calling.
Well, Mike, I wanted to ask you, what would you say to people who want to say that there is no physical proof for the man called Jesus having actually existed, that he is nothing more than a myth or something that comes out of the Jewish tradition storyline?
Well, I would say that there are numerous secular accounts that verify his existence, as well as the biblical account. There were historians in his day, such as Josephus, who verified his existence. And that would be my main response.
Thank you. What in your own experiences, I understand you're coming from Eastern traditions into the Christian or Catholic, or actually Christian, tradition of worship within, you know, under the tutorship of Jesus Christ. What in that experience leads you to believe that not only Christ did live, but that that there is a distinct difference? I'm hearing you say that within the Eastern religions that you were following, there was no outward source of knowledge, of truth. There was a distinct difference in that under the teachings of Jesus, or under following that name, there was a revelation of truth that came to you from an outside source.
What changed me, and what is your name, Fran?
Yes.
Yeah, Fran, what changed me, and incidentally, when I was changed, it was quite a shock to the people that were following me. I had about 400 students who were following my teachings in four universities who considered me their guru. I was running a yoga ashram. I was one of Yogi Bhajan's first student teachers in this country when he came from India and began to teach Kundalini Yoga here in this country. But then something very drastic happened to me. And the Bible talks about it in these terms. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, or he cannot comprehend the kingdom of God, in other words. I didn't understand what being born again was all about. When I first heard the term, I thought it was synonymous with samadhi or nirvana, Christ consciousness, God consciousness. I thought these are all talking about the same thing. Now I don't see it that way at all. And this is how it took place. My transformation happened over a period of about a month. What happened was the Tampa Tribune newspaper did a big article on me, and I thought that it would increase my class attendance. Instead, it alerted a prayer group of Christians to begin praying for me. And they pinned the article to their prayer board, and someone was praying over me every day, asking Jesus to reveal himself to me. So this was going on. During that same time, I received a letter from an old friend of mine who was studying under a different guru, and he said that he had walked in a church and heard an audible voice say that Jesus was the only way, and he experienced being born again. Well, I wrote him back and I said, Larry, I'm happy for you that you found Christianity to be your path, but I could never narrow my beliefs to just one path. But his letter weighed on my mind for days and days and days and days. Finally, I decided I've got to open my heart up to this to see if there's a reality to it. I had been raised a Catholic. I'd learned about a historical Christ all the years I was in Catholic Church, but I'd never had a personal encounter with him, which is really the essence of Christianity. Not joining a church is having an encounter with the Lord. And so I had misinterpreted Christianity to be just a system of doctrines and creeds and ideas. But I decided to dedicate one entire day to Jesus because I was disturbed. I was troubled. Maybe there's reality here I'm missing. And so I said, Jesus, I'm not going to meditate today. I'm not going to chant. I'm not going to read the Vedas. I'm not going to read the Bhagavad Gita. I'm only going to read the Bible, and I'm only going to pray to you, and if you really are the Savior of the world, I believe you'll show me today. That afternoon, I was hitchhiking, and one of the members of the prayer group that was praying for me was 2 miles away, walking in a laundromat. The Holy Spirit spoke to him to get back in his car and start driving, his van. And he thought that very strange. But he obediently got in his van and started driving, and whenever he felt an impulse, he would turn. And the Holy Spirit led him through 3 or 4 turns to the very spot where I was standing hitchhiking. When I opened the door to the van, I looked in, and on the ceiling was a picture of Jesus. My heart started racing. I knew this was my answer. And a few moments later, the man began to talk to me, and he said, have you ever experienced Jesus Christ coming into your heart? And I said, no, but I've been praying to him all day long. I'm ready. I want this spiritual experience of being born again. And so I was quite amazed to find out that this man had been one of the most advanced students of Yogananda and yet had become a Christian. And so we talked for a while, and then I knelt down with him in the back of the van and prayed a very, very simple prayer. I said, Jesus, if you died on the cross for the sins of the world, and if you really are the only way, and if you really are the Savior of the world, then come into my heart right now. And at that moment, for the first time, I experienced the Spirit of God coming into me. And it was a totally different perspective than I'd had before. Whereas a yoga teacher, I taught that to find God, you look within. But when I finally encountered God, I discovered that I had been separate from him, that only by receiving Jesus into my heart was that gap bridged between me and God. And that was the turning point. That was the pivotal moment.
I apologize, Mike, that I have to interject here. We've got the other people that are other callers that are trying to call in to
actually I'm sorry.
With you. No, it's quite all right. And we've got some questions, and I just really want to make sure that we honor all the listeners this evening. And I personally want to thank you, Fran, for calling in. What profound questions that you have asked for this evening's show tonight. So thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you,
Frank.
And many blessings to you. Bless you, Fran. One of the things before we take our next call or I share our next question is that I would truly want to remind all our listeners this evening, is that one of the things that I'm very sure about is love heals and dissolves all things. And it's important for us to always remember to speak, think with our hearts. And I know that expressing my words and my thoughts with love to everyone that crosses my path, you can just, you all know what I'm talking about, every one of you. And always remember, it is time for all of us to stand side by side, to support each other. It doesn't necessarily mean that we have to agree or that we don't have our own belief systems. And we all understand what belief is versus truth. And so I find that my life is enriched when I can sit down with an open mind, and we all know that we all love Jesus, we all love God. Every one of us understand this, and remember this, love is the key. And so with all of that said, I just wanted to remind each and every one of you tonight, because Mike has, you know, I'm sitting here really listening to what Mike is sharing with all of us, and it's very obvious that he is brought together, and literally Mike is breaking down the gaps between all cultures, all belief systems, and is bringing that all together for a better understanding and perspective. And it's a useful tool that I have found. And you've all heard me say this time and time again. And I just wanted to share my thoughts with each and every one of you. And I just wanted to remind you, all the listeners that have been attempting to call in, we personally thank you for your patience. All the lines are open at this time. And I'm going to go ahead and share one of the questions that has been brought forth, if I may. So bear with me, okay, Mike? But
sure.
why I'm actually looking for the question that has been presented, if you will once again share the title of your book and your website information.
Well, the title of the book is In Search of the True Light. And the primary website that I would invite your listeners to come to is called thetruelight.net. I also have two other websites, shreveministries.org, that's S-H-R-E-V-E, ministries.org, and Deeper Revelation Books, my publishing company. But again, the primary website that contains a lot of the discussion of these kinds of concepts is thetruelight.net. And I would love to communicate with anyone who has a question or a comment or an opposite point of view. They're welcome to email me at that site. I view every email that comes in on that site, which sometimes is not easy to do. But I feel people are very important, and every question is essentially important. And so I don't pass that responsibility to someone else. As long as I'm able to do it myself, I would much rather do so.
Absolutely. And I'm very grateful, Mike, that you have come and shared your thoughts with us. And you know, it's so important for us, because I know as I have continued on my journey that I have found that there has been truth and there's been untruth. There has been misperceptions at many, many different levels. And, you know, I'm very passionate about the work I do, not just being a radio host, but also with the assistance that I give to people worldwide. And it's a great responsibility. And for us to really reach out and mend hearts and to let them all know that they are indeed love and there is one creator, is God. And I'm a very firm believer on that. And part of what I've been doing for the past couple of years is breaking down those walls of illusions, breaking down untruth to expose truth. And so, you know, sometimes I ask myself, you know, just when I feel that I might have an insight to truth, it just, you know, I watch a higher truth continue unfolding. And, but I do know that we will never go wrong by love, kindness, acceptance of all people worldwide. And it's time for all of us, I feel very strongly, it's time for us to put all those differences aside. So with that said, I've got this question, and it's from Free Child once again, and she says, so is the Creator, God Truth, that you speak of the same for all of the cultures, or are all the others inaccurate in your perception?
Is the Creator Truth in all of these different cultures?
Yeah, let me just read it one more time for
okay.
you. So is the Creator, God Truth, that
God
you,
Truth.
Yes.
Is the Creator God Truth? Okay.
That you speak of the same for all the cultures, or are all the others inaccurate in your perception?
That's a very, very good question. And it starts out with the word Creator. And that's an important word to begin with, because in Hinduism, for instance, the ultimate reality is referred to as Brahman. And Brahman is not considered a quote-unquote creator, but rather the universe was emanated out of Brahman. Brahman is considered to be an impersonal energy force, a level of consciousness, an it, not a he. You do not pray to Brahman in Hinduism, because Brahman will not respond. Brahman is just an energy force, a level of consciousness. On the contrary, in Christianity, ultimate reality is a personal God. Now, there's a huge difference between an impersonal force and a personal God. And there's no way that the two could be the same. And so, to respond to her question, I do believe that that view of ultimate reality is inaccurate, because an impersonal being is a non-thinking, non-hearing, non-speaking, non-emotional, non-responsive force from which all personal beings originate. And so, if God is a feeling, thinking, responsive God who will communicate with you, who will respond to you when you pray, who will pour his very essence and being into you if you invite him into your heart, then he cannot be equated with the Hindu view of ultimate reality, which is an impersonal force. And the way I look at it is this. I do not believe that distinguishing between these two things is being a divisive person, but rather by distinguishing between these two things, I call myself a spiritual explorer, if you will, that is finding the correct path that leads to a certain goal. And my goal from the beginning was to know my Creator, to know my Father. I was bleeding inwardly to know God. I wept many, many times saying, God, when am I going to know you? When am I going to experience you? And when it finally happened, I became duty-bound to share my experience with others, because I know the world is filled with millions of seekers who are just as much crying out in their hearts for the same thing I wanted for so long. But one little analogy, and then I'll throw it back to you. There has to be an absolute truth, an absolute correct interpretation of God. And if there is a correct interpretation of God, then other ideas about God are necessarily false. And here's the clincher. In the second century, there was an astronomer named Ptolemy, who taught that the Earth was the center of the solar system. 1,000 years later, Copernicus came along and said, no, the Sun is the center of the solar system. Now, if Ptolemy and Copernicus were contemporaries, and if they could discuss their views together, it would be totally illogical for Ptolemy to say to Copernicus, you can have your truth, and I can have my truth, and we can both be right, and we can be in perfect harmony with each other. One belief is right at the expense of the other being wrong. Either the Earth is the center, or the Sun is the center. And in like manner, either God on an ultimate level is an impersonal force, or he is a personal God. And I contend that the latter is the truth.
I'm going to real quick, we're getting close to ending this broadcast, so I want to thank my caller for their patience. And I'm going to ask that the caller come on to the show and ask her question. And then I'm going to actually say goodnight to you, but I will allow Mike to answer the question. So please welcome to the show. Please give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hiya, my name's Raymond, and I'm calling from the UK.
Welcome to the show. Please go ahead and ask your question to Stephen. Just say, to Mike, and stay on the line with us for a few moments. I'd like to honor you that way.
Okay, thank you. Hi, Mike.
Hello, good evening.
Hi. Earlier on, you spoke of commonality, and my understanding from looking at the majority of the major religions, one thing they all have in common is an absolute belief in a single divine creator by various names, and the other is that they have a very strong belief in a ongoing life after physical death. Now, I believe these are two absolute truths, as did perhaps most of your listeners. And this, this being a commonality through all the major religions, I think it would be more useful to focus on what we have in common than on the differences, because the differences only arise out of various books and doctrines. But I do have a question for you.
I'm sorry. What was your question again?
Sorry, I've got another call coming in trying to do it. The question I do have is regarding God and the laws he put in, the Creator, and the laws he put into place for the whole creation to operate as smoothly and efficiently as it does. Now, God's laws, being divine laws, are immutable and cannot be broken.
Excuse me, guys. I'm so sorry, but I do have to apologize to our caller. I'm going to have to go ahead and say good night to our caller from the UK. It's been a real honor to have you call us. And Mike, if I could get you to answer that question very quickly, I must say good night to you and to the listeners.
Well, the quickest way I could respond to that is that, yes, many religions are focused toward God, but I believe only in Christianity can we truly achieve union with God. I loved God from a distance when I was a teacher of yoga, but I only came into perfect union with him when I found atonement through the blood of Jesus and through the redemption that he offered. And I believe that's what makes him totally unique. I love all of the listeners that took their time to listen to the program today, and I encourage them to come to our website, thetruelight.net, and let's communicate further.
Yes. I tell you, Mike, I have a wonderful, wonderful following, and they know that they're very special to me, each and every one of them. I've gotten to know all my listeners, actually, and anyway, first and foremost, I want to thank you, Mike, for the great work that you're doing, for sharing your wisdom and knowledge with all of us. for a wonderful book that I have found very empowering in so many ways for myself. And I want to remind all our listeners, always remember that love is indeed the key. And always to remember to love thyself, to love your families with all your heart. Be well to each and every one of you, and may you all be blessed. Good night to all.
One day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true, because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly high. We were born to fly. So was I. I ask myself, what will I come to be? I have a choice now, so I guess it's up to me. Maybe I will make a difference in this world. Maybe I will teach another boy or another girl how to fly. Teach them all that they were born to fly. And we were born to fly, so was I.